Oh, we're not hot right now?
Of course we're hot. Come on.
So I know I'm always
I'll
hot.
Say this. Welcome to Long Box Heroes After Dark, episode 128. Where the fate of a nation hangs in the balance.
It does.
This is like one of those, this is like that last time that people were obsessively watching a map and seeing all the blue disappear.
Where is that from? When did that happen?
Back in November.
Oh, when you became president of the One Box Heroes?
Yes.
Okay, that's a, when you, not my president, hashtag, Joe Sposto. You robbed me. Russia helped you. I know all the things.
That is a thing that I did not think. It was 6 months ago, Todd. I can't be forced to remember things that happened 6 days ago. But as you say those things, I'm like, oh, I remember all of that. That was a fun LARF.
Yes, it was. I took it seriously. I was trying to bring you down.
And you look how well you did.
I'm the Hillary Clinton of this podcast. I guess that makes you the Trump?
Begrudgingly, I'll accept that honor.
Were you ever stunned by anyone? Got the Stone Cold Stunner?
No, I was not.
Well, our president got it.
I did get a forearm smash from Cesaro.
Really?
The man who milks a tall cow.
The tall cow milker. Yes, I know him.
All right. You're missing so much in the current world of professional wrestling. There's a guy who sings now.
Santino?
No. He is the drama king, and he sings all of his promos like this.
Oh, that's fantastic. Why am I not watching that?
I don't know. There's also a drifter.
Oh.
Again, I don't want to see this as a homeless man. Like, his name is The Drifter, where he just randomly walks through shots playing a guitar.
Oh, my God. Does he have a bindle?
No, he doesn't have a bindle, because, again, we can't see he's a homeless person. He's just a drifter.
Oh, I was going to say, does he know the hobo code? Does he, like, scratch marks on Vince's door?
Now, see, if like they were smart... And means, if only people who were on the SmackDown writing team that I'm friends with actually, or on the Raw writing team, who actually listen to this show, they don't, but that would be ingenious for them to do, but they would never, ever be able to take the gimmick this week was he walked, Dean Ambrose was pretending he was like a Mean Gene style interviewer backstage. And the Drifter walked by one of his interview segments, and then he just yelled at him off camera, "Hey man, do you know any Pearl Jam?" And that was your joke for the evening regarding the Drifter.
Oh my God.
Right. That's about as deep as a joke in, like something involving the Drifter would get. Now, if there were things with the hobo code and him putting markings on doors that were safe or not safe to go into, you're talking like next level shit at that point. Never would happen.
That's like, do not, like, Braun Strowman's dangerous.
Right.
Like Roman Reigns,
but
the
see,
big
though, that's
dog.
That's the thing, though. Then that means there would need to be more than one drifter slash hobo. Because if he's doing it, for nobody.
Well, you always do it just in case,
oh,
you know?
Shit, that reminds me. Go ahead.
Or what would be even better is if... there was already a hobo in the midst of Raw, and they were leaving the codes for the Drifter.
Okay.
And then he's got to figure out who was the hobo who made it in the WWE. And it could be like the higher power mystery here.
I have to find the information on this. So, there was a guy, and I can't remember his name right now. Remember when... Chris Benoit killed his family?
Vaguely.
Okay.
It was in the news, I think.
Right. So right around that time, like the Monday before that happened, was the beginning of what was supposed to be a year-long angle of who killed Vince.
Right. I remember because a certain somebody called to make sure he was okay when the limo exploded.
Really?
Yeah, our president.
Oh.
Did you ever hear that story?
No.
I heard it on, it's on all the newses and the Twitters that he actually thought Vince got hurt and he called, I don't know.
I've seen that. They blew up the limo here.
Right, right.
So that happened on a Monday, and then, you know, Benoit killed his family on a Saturday, so they're like, yeah, we really shouldn't be doing an angle where a guy is dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hang on, let me just see. And then they were going to like, okay, so the way that the story was supposed to go was, it was going to be revealed that Vince wasn't dead.
Shocking.
But he was going to go in hiding to keep the storyline, you know, going.
Right.
And then at some point, Vince would return with a hobo army.
Oh my God, that would have been fantastic.
Right. So it was going to be like Vince was going to be like a crazy disheveled man, like living on the rails.
Mm-hmm.
And then something was going to happen where he was going to come to take his company back with his hobo army.
Oh, that's great. That sounds like a Mel Brooks movie.
Right. I just wanted to see Vince with a hobo beard because I just recently learned that if, unless you are a wrestler, any sort of other in the business personality, if you have facial hair, Vince will make you shave it off.
Oh, lose those sideburns.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Like, especially, like, announcers, if you're an on-camera announcer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, obviously, there was a time where Jesse Ventura had facial hair and then got rid of it, and more times than not, it was for movie roles and stuff, but there was very little that Vince could tell Jesse to do.
Right. Well,
it was
when
they would poach announcers from other companies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first thing that Vince would have them do after, if they had a southern accent, to lose their southern accent, is to get rid of any facial hair.
Oh, my goodness.
So, this all spins out of a very important poll that Todd conducted through Twitter this past week.
Right, I did. Basically, the question was, when it comes to the Gallifrey Birds episode of After Dark, do you like to listen to Todd's take on wrestling, Joe's take on Doctor Who, both, or neither?
Mm-hmm.
And after a huge, huge undertaking of people giving their choices, we had 0% for neither.
Right.
48% for both.
Okay.
0% for Joe's take on Doctor Who.
Of course.
And 52%. The new 52,
mm-hmm.
Todd's take on wrestling.
So I would say, you know, if you split the both vote between me and you, as you should,
mm-hmm.
that's an overwhelming choice that people enjoy, nay, love your take on professional wrestling.
I think they're just scared to mention how much they love your take on Doctor Who.
Scared to say that. That doesn't make any sense.
I dare. They're scared. They're all like, oh, we can't let him know because it'll go to his head. That's what it is.
My head's big enough the way it is.
That's right. Covered in fur, too.
Yes.
You know what? If you were announcing on Raw, you'd have to lose your facial hair.
Oh, about it.
Oh, here comes Joe Sposto, clean shaved. You can see all the handsome now.
Oh, my goodness. So, based on this,
right.
This makes me think that we need to do more of just you watching wrestling and less of me watching Doctor Who.
That sounds like a guy who doesn't want to watch Doctor Who anymore.
Listen, I have access to at least 5 different Sako accounts
mm-hmm.
that I very easily could have padded that vote, and I did not, Todd.
I don't believe it.
If only there was a way that you could see who voted on it, but I give you my word, as a gentleman and a scholar, that I only voted with my own account.
Right. And then you paid other people.
Yeah, like I'm going to waste money on that. Like, my hatred of Doctor Who does not go that far. And it's not even a hatred, it's just a, you know,
See, now I know why you were all for this poll, because it was your outlaws, is what it was.
Listen, not so much my outlaws, but it's more like, I think there's more ground to be had with you and your remarks on professional wrestling than there is on my remarks on Doctor Who.
Mm.
Now, what I was thinking was, and again, you know, this is where we do our planning and thought processes, because again, it wasn't like a thousand people voted on this, and the numbers actually line up almost exactly with what they'll tell you about direct interaction from listeners to podcasts to so forth.
Right.
Because if we take out my vote, and I'm gonna guess we're gonna take out your vote as well.
I did not vote. Oh, okay. I refused to vote.
Okay. So they'll usually say less than 10% of your actual listenership
mm-hmm.
will engage with you beyond that extra step. Now, obviously, that doesn't speak volumes for the lack of comments that we have on our website, but we do have our regular commenters. But something as easy as, you know, going through, like, it is difficult to go to Twitter and click on a thing and then click vote. Mm-hmm. Like, for many people, that is a lot. Like, the fact that they subscribe to our podcast is more than we require, you know?
Yeah.
I don't subscribe to podcasts. I just have RSS feed that I incessantly click F5 on the day that I know that they're supposed to come out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, usually the Gallifrey Birds episodes are listened to more than the normal After Dark episodes. So 20 people voting on it sounds to be about right, of course. You know, in that less than 10% engagement, direct engagement beyond just listening to the show. And obviously we're going to finish off the year with this. But what I was thinking was, if we were to do something similar in the future, now this is where it might have to be more work on your end.
Oh, God.
Whereas, instead of watching, like, a full show, like a full 2 to 3 hour show, or you watch it, or me having to watch, like, a full Doctor Who storyline,
mm-hmm.
with wrestling, it's easy for me to pull a match, or to pull the recap of a storyline, or to pull a promo, or a series of promos, and have you watch them and get your natural reaction to them, right?
Right.
Where it's more difficult for you to be able to pull, say, one isolated episode of Doctor Who. You know, whether we're talking the old 20 to 30 minute episodes, the new 50 minute-ish episodes, or even further, if there was, like, a scene that was isolated, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That, like, this encapsulates, like, such a powerful moment in the world of Doctor Who that could stand alone on its own accord.
There are a few of those, like, scenes that I could do, but I know what you're saying.
Whereas it is something that we could probably do in the future, like, every week on After Dark.
Mm-hmm.
To incentivize more people to listen to After Dark all the time, as opposed to just when we do Gallifrey Birds.
Right. Interesting.
Right, and these are the thoughts that I have, you know?
I know, you're a thoughtful guy.
Well, I'm a guy. I just, you know, we cross these bridges as we come to them, Todd.
Right. That's a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's this is kind of like the show and network kind of hashing things out sort of thing.
Right.
So I noticed lately on your Twitter, or at least for one day, you decided to, like, triple down on the Cinnabon shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what do you mean by Cinnabon shit?
Well,
that's how I make my money, good sir.
Touche. In the icing mines or whatever.
Yes.
So where I'm going from there is, I'm guessing that you only did it for like one day. It did not yield any sort of engagement.
Do what?
Or extra engagement
from the Cinnabon stuff?
or from just in general. Like, there's weirdos that if you have a certain word combination in a tweet, you might get more interaction from people who just have those words flagged.
No, I didn't get anything from Cinnabon.
Well, no, I don't even mean from Cinnabon. Just, like, as an example, the one particular tweet from WrestleMania. Remember WrestleMania a month ago, Todd?
I try not to, but I kind
of
do.
Okay. One of my many tweets from tonight, I still get, like, two favorites a day on.
Right.
And out of context, like, okay, it has a hashtag for WrestleMania, which was a month ago. And it's the one that just says, ref did a piss poor job of checking for foreign objects.
Ah, the proposal tweet.
Right. So out of context, that tweet essentially means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still good for getting about two favorites a day on that. So there's some sort of combination of the words in that that are getting picked up by bots to favorite it. Or everyone's, like, I'll get like two retweets a week out of that one, you know?
I have a weird one way back in the day. Just a tweet that said gloves are nice.
Yeah, that's the one that you have pinned.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's because it's pinned or if that's just the like you said, the I don't get them every day like you do because you're just super cool. But I'll
right,
get
that's the reason why.
What?
I said that's the reason why. I'm super cool.
That's right. I'll get a like off of those. But usually it's by scantily clad women who want to check out their webcam.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's mostly, like, there's something in that configuration of just simply gloves are nice that when they create a porn bot, whatever the algorithm is, that gets picked up.
Right.
And that to me is fascinating.
It is. Because I never know why. And then you get random actual people. So
right,
I don't know.
Right. Well, what happens is there are people out there that may not be clued into the world of porn bots that think all Twitter is legitimate.
Oh, it is. I have to lay on you what my favorite or retweet I get every once in a while is if you go to the official Richard Dean Anderson Twitter page.
Oh no.
And you go
yes!
to his
okay,
likes.
I know what one this is. Go ahead.
You go to his likes because he hasn't been on in years and it's his daughter who does it. I think somebody scared him off, to tell you the truth. I don't know. Some, you know, because it seemed like he was on for a little bit and then bam, you know, he just disappeared over some weird shit. Honest to God, that he even said, like, I have to go. Just it says that she was like, oh, well, I'm on here for my dad, because he doesn't really understand Twitter. And I'm like, you're telling me MacGyver doesn't understand how Twitter works?
Right.
And that was the last, like, they haven't tweeted out anything since. And if you go to their likes, I'm the top one. So if people go to the Richard Dean Anderson Twitter page and look, and they go to the likes, so I'll get a like or a retweet, like, every 2 weeks off of that. And I guess I'm Richard Dean Anderson's best friend because of it.
So there's a site that's not a sponsor called Twitter Audit. Right.
Okay.
Where you could put your Twitter account in and it will give you on, you know, based on your tweet performance, quote unquote, on how real they consider your Twitter account.
Right.
And it'll, like, there's fake, not sure, and real. And then it also will tell you of your followers how many are fake.
All my followers are real.
Right.
I only let the real people follow me. I put out the hobo code so they know.
Right.
Did you ever punch yours in?
Yeah, I just did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Do you have to do the password too? Or?
No. You just go to twitteraudit.com. Again, not a sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you would put in there, you know, your Twitter handle, 10-4-GoodBuddy. and it'll give you, like, all these charts. Then it'll say, the first one's for free. And then, like, if you want to do more with it, you have to sign up for Twitter Audit Pro, and then it'll, like, block all the fake accounts or dead accounts.
I don't want that. Yeah. That pads my stats.
Right.
I want padded stats.
But I just pulled up Richard Danson's Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we're at the, you know, we just passed the year anniversary of that tweet, Todd.
Oh, did we?
And I'm going to stroke your ego a little bit. Happy belated anniversary of this tweet. This is the fucking around show, guys. Come on.
Holy crap, I just got a like. And holy crap, I just got a retweet. Happy belated birth anniversary of this tweet. MacGyver is, oh my god, I feel special.
Right.
I hope they don't like that tweet and you get you bump me.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll be pissed.
Yeah.
Because I am the one true Richard Dean Anderson fan.
At least in northeastern Pennsylvania.
I was going to start a Twitter account that was Richard Dean Fanderson.
Oh boy.
The ultimate fan. Because there's nobody bigger fan than Richard Dean Anderson than me.
At least not northeastern Pennsylvania.
No.
That I'm aware of.
Nope.
And there was something else.
Something that I tweeted?
Yeah. Oh, so with your bullshit NFL draft that happened this past week, whatever,
mm-hmm.
fake.
Listen.
Fake
draft. I just want to say that the Raiders won the draft. They won. They won it the most.
Didn't the Eagles or something like that.
No, because my favorite part of the draft, if there's any NFL fans listening to this, just like Joe, is that the second that the draft is over,
yes,
it's like Mr. Irrelevant is picked, and that's his name, legitimately, Mr. Irrelevant. He's picked last, and then it's like, oh, who won the draft? And I'm like, oh, like you can't do that one pick earlier because Mr. Irrelevant might have changed everything.
You don't know.
Right. And then it's like, the only thing you can gauge, in my opinion, is we have these holes on our team. We need a quarterback. We need a running back. We need whatever. Did you draft them?
We have these holes on our team. A defensive end, a tight end, an offensive line.
A defensive line, corners, safeties.
We're good on place kickers.
We got a long snapper, boys. We got a long snapper. That's all you need.
Oh, well, fuck yeah.
They'll be like, all right, well, you need these four positions. Did you draft them? That's the only way you can grade. You don't, these guys haven't, you know, put a jersey on yet, and you're great. I love that. That's my favorite. But yeah, so.
Well, they're going based on potential and mm-hmm. other things that, you know, fake bullshit, blah, blah, blah.
A genius coach once said,
nope,
depth is great until you have to use it.
I don't know what that means. But where I'm going with this is, you had postulated on Twitter
mm-hmm.
to do a superstar shakeup of the network.
Right. What?
Is this for true?
As long as I don't have to do it, yeah.
Okay. See, there you go. Now, here's the problem. Is mm-hmm. all these shows record, like, all fucked up times, right?
What? Nobody does it. Everybody does them weekly, I heard.
Well, so they do them weekly, yes. Like, I know, let me just look at the list of the shows here. And this will be the obligatory plug for the network, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, we film Tuesday nights at 9.
We film?
I do a digital thing of it.
Okay.
But so does Profane Arguments.
Right.
Puzzle Warriors 3 will record Wednesdays at 9 o'clock. They'll record Wednesdays at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Prodigal Sons allegedly records at 9 o'clock on Mondays. But that show, who the fuck knows when that comes out?
Right.
Podvocacy, Jason and David, they also record usually on Monday nights, but sometimes their time schedule fluctuates a bit. Talking Gimmicks just came back, and they kind of do whenever. Aim Downside's podcast, I know he tries to record on the weekends, but he does, like, really, Ben does real weird times with his. I have no idea when Jason and Jeremy do Paladins of Ultron. And then we have Fresher in Parlance, which is Fridays at midnight for us on the East Coast.
Right.
So it would be very difficult to coordinate these sort of things. Now, I would be absolutely akin to just kind of sending out a feeler email to say, hey, Todd mentioned this on Twitter. Let's see if we have any takers. Just to randomly, for like 1 week, have like X replace Y on your show this week.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be like the person who plans the things.
Right.
Because then, like, it's not the show.
Right.
Unless,
but,
like, I could go and you could do this show with someone else, but then for that week you're doing all the legwork, right?
Right, but we have the, Joe, we have the luxury of two shows.
That's true.
Why screw with the Moneymaker main show and just have some schlub come on the After Dark?
That's true.
You know? And then if they want to mess up their shows, that's fine with me. I don't, you know, they want to drag it down with my talent. That's 100% fine.
Now, the other thing is, Puzzle Warriors has a Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
Where part of their Patreon rewards are, you get to be a guest on the show.
Okay.
Whereas, but then technically, if one of us did that show, we wouldn't be a guest. We would technically be replacing someone else.
Right.
So I think once we're done recording, probably tomorrow morning, I'm going to send an email out to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially saying, hey, Todd mentioned this. Let's talk. Anybody would be interested in doing this like, for 1 week? Mixing up like one show, all the shows, whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Just to see. The only one that would be difficult would be Profane Arguments and Us, because we recorded exactly the same time.
Yes, but the idea of it, does that, how about even if we decided to just do a segment and then people could edit it in if they wanted to, instead of a whole show?
See that, like, but I think it works better if it's the whole show.
Right. But now, and there's a lot of like legwork on this because, like, how interesting would I be on Puzzle Warriors?
Let's find out.
Because the thing is, I don't play any Puzzle Warriors.
Right.
I don't know anything about it. All I know is I want Gambit and Rogue. That's all I know.
Now, see, okay, you knowing that would be funny to bring up all the time.
Right.
Whereas, like, on the flip side, like, okay, just like on this past week's episode, you know, they mention, like, the new characters that come in, or the new event that just happened, or whatever it is, mm-hmm. right? And it was, like, a new Thanos event, and they'll probably talk about how everyone did it. Like, on this week's episode coming up, they're more than likely going to talk about the new Thanos event that just ended, how everyone did, what was different about it, what they liked, what they didn't like about it. They just announced a new thematic to the movie Rocket and Groot, and they're going to talk about the powers, the animations, etc. And then they're going to then they have like a featured character of the week, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know comic book stuff, so when they say like, "Oh, Thanos did this and Thanos did that," you could say, "I'm a comic book person," so blah 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 blah.
Right.
And when they do the featured character of the week, Ian attempts, and I love Ian, but very poorly, to do the comic story of the character,
mm-hmm.
and it's always abysmal.
Right.
So you, being someone who actually knows comic books, now granted this past week's featured character of the week was Medusa of the Inhumans, so I don't know how far your knowledge of her goes.
She has hair.
Right. Oh, now see, and we're going to wrap this up here. Not that this is a way to entice you to play the game, but Medusa is really, really good in the game.
Right.
Because you have to give the Inhumans the rub to make them really good. One of her powers, where she mixes up the board, is called Hair Metal.
Oh.
And that's M-E-D-D-L-E.
That's good.
See, right, see, that's right up your alley.
I thought maybe because she was married to Black Bolt, she was Heir to the Throne.
No.
See, that's fantastic.
And I think she's one of the few that have, like, a straight-up pun, like, a serious character that has a straight-up pun as their name.
They all should.
Like, Gwen Poole is in the game.
Right.
And even her is kind of like a joke character. All of her powers have legitimate names. You know, they're like not like goofy or anything. Howard the Duck. His powers. Now see, this is right up your alley. There's the Quack Fu 1-2.
Well, he knew Quack Fu in the comics.
Right. There's one that's called Duck Duck Loose.
Oh, I like that.
And then there's another one called Bill of Rights.
Because a duck has a bill on his face.
That's right.
And he's giving the rights, like rights and lefts.
Right.
Bill of Rights. Oh, that's fantastic.
And other than that, like all the other characters are like Resolute Arm or... You know, Old Habits, or Repulsor Punch, like stuff like that.
I don't want those.
Takes itself very seriously.
I want puns for all these characters.
I agree. Alright, so these are things to discuss in regards not only the future of this show, but also the future of the soon-to-be-named network.
Oh boy.
But we put it out there in the public, so now we have to deal with it at some point.
That's right. I have laryngitis.
Oh, is Johnny Ace on the show?
Who's Johnny Ace?
Laurinaitis. Do you remember People Power?
I thought you were the head guy from Sparta from 300.
No.
Laurinaitis?
No. See, you're quick on the draw there. But remember in World Wrestling Entertainment, the People Power guy.
I know Polish Power.
No, all right. Ivan Petutsky.
Yes.
There was actually... he feuded... And this is how we're going to wrap up the show. More wrestling talk.
Oh, good. I was worried.
In the late 70s, the underneath feud to like whatever Bruno Sammartino's feud was... He competed... against a wrestler whose name was Ed Winorski, the Polish Prince. And the matches were billed to determine Poland's greatest athlete.
Oh my goodness.
Where it's like, Ivan Putski was a gassed up guy from Texas, and Ed Winorski was a guy from Oregon who would later go on to play a South African racist.
Oh my goodness.
Only in the magical world of professional wrestling, Todd.
Oh, that's fantastic. I wish we had more time for you to tell me about wrestling. We should wrap it up.
Yeah. So thanks for listening, everybody. Longboxheroes.com, soon-to-be-named-network.com, soon-to-be-named-network.tumblr.com, and episode 128 of Longbox Heroes After Dark. We'll catch you next week. Beep, boop, boop, boop.